One of the things that Caroline, my wife, and I try to do at this time of year is to have an autumn break. And a few years ago, we went to the Malvern Hills. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. It's a very beautiful part of the country, and the hills sort of emerge from nowhere. And one day we were going for a walk, as we did, and it was a particularly misty day. And as we climbed the Worcestershire Beacon, the fog got worse and we couldn't see too far ahead. The higher we climbed, the less we could see. Well, we got tired and we didn't know how much further we had to climb, and a little bit nervous about getting lost, so we retraced our steps and turned back. And after a while, the fog lifted very, very quickly. And as we looked back, we realised that we hadn't been very far at all from the top. It's just that we couldn't see it. One of the things about a foggy day is that the things that we can normally see so easily get lost. Familiar landmarks become a blur, and often, like the top of our hill, are just simply not visible. Fog can make us disorientated. And grief can be like fog. It disorientates. Today, as we gather at this memorial service, I expect some of us will feel as though we've been overtaken by a thick fog. The death of someone whom we love leaves a huge hole in our lives. And I know from my own experience of the death of loved ones that the months and sometimes years following death can be hard work. As someone recently told my wife, grief can be exhausting. The usual landmarks of our lives, those things we took for granted, those things that were there, are suddenly gone. We can't see, we can't think, and often we don't want to. And just as the fog swirls around, so we can experience some desolate times, but hopefully some times too when the fog begins to lift. And most of us know that as we make that journey of grief, there will be more times when the fog lifts, even if it doesn't always feel like it. But in the midst of whatever grief you experience, whatever sense of desolation and loneliness, I think the words of that Bible reading that James read to us from Romans has something to say to us, to encourage us, and to bring us hope. Written by a man called Paul, who was writing to a group of Christians to encourage them in their faith. And he's writing as someone who himself has known a lot of hardship. In another letter to the same church in Corinth, he says this: "Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers." It was a tough time it had, wasn't it? "I've laboured and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked." And yet, he writes to the church in Rome with absolute confidence about the hope that he had and we can have. So let's have a look at those words today. In verse 31, the beginning, Paul says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul makes it absolutely clear that despite all that he had been through, all of that hardship, all of that sense of loss and suffering, he knew that God was for him. God hadn't turned his back on him. God is for us, and therefore nothing that was thrown against him, in some cases quite literally, nothing that happened to him, could harm him. My parents both died some years ago, and in both cases, after their death, I knew the love and support of my Christian friends, who showed their support in lots of practical ways through prayer and little messages and just ways when we needed them. Of course, as time went on, we needed them less. I was able to cope better myself. But when the fog was bad, I had people to help me through. They were on my side when I needed to know that. And I hope all of you have known people on your side too. And God is like that as well. He's on our side, not just sometimes, but all the time. He is for us, even when it feels as though everything else is against us. He is there even in those dark times of the night when nobody else is there. Sometimes the fog in our lives can seem so thick that we just can't see him. We kind of ask ourselves, where is God? But Paul reminds us that he is there. He leads us, encourages us, just like the best of friends that we could ever have. And why? Why? Well, Paul tells us in the next verse. It's because he loves us and he gave Jesus for us. Verse 32 says, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He gave him up for us all. And then a little bit later on, he goes on to say that Jesus now was raised to life. He died on a cross, was raised to life, and is now at the right hand of God, praying for us, interceding for us. The Bible tells us that when God made the world, he made it perfectly, but humans very quickly rejected God and went their own way. And so God ultimately sent his son, Jesus, into the world to live a perfect life and then to die on a cross simply to enable that relationship with God to be restored. But the great Christian hope is that Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose to new life. He conquered death so that he could promise to all who believe in him that gift of eternal life. That's the great Christian hope. It's what Paul knew. It's what we can experience too. Our first reading from C.S. Lewis helps to explain this in the story of those children who went through the wardrobe and discovered Narnia. You'll be familiar, I'm sure, with some of that. And what does it say here? All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth had read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. That's a beautiful image of eternal life. You see, our life here on earth is just the beginning, the title page, if you like, the cover. There's the whole of the book, eternity, to discover the beauty of that relationship with God. And whatever our experiences of life, whatever we're going through today, however thick that fog is, the truth is that Jesus died for us so that he could open for us the book of eternity. And we can discover that every page, every chapter is better than the one before. His promise is that when this life fades for our loved ones and one day for ourselves, a new and greater chapter of the real book of life begins. And then a final point I want to make from this is another truth we see in this short passage is that God never leaves us. God never leaves us. Paul writes that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Yes, trouble and hardship and suffering will come. We know that. We're here because we've experienced it. But the truth is, they cannot separate us from the love of God. Sometimes it feels as though that fog has separated because we can't see and we can't see God. But God is there. A few years ago, I remember the introduction of a new product called No More Nails. And I remember the advert for it very clearly. And they advertised it when they made it by sticking a chair to a wall and putting a man in that chair. Some of you remember that. To demonstrate how strong this new mastic was that you could use at home, that it was impenetrable to anything, it would withstand anything. And I think that's a good illustration of God's love, so strong that it will withstand any attempt to rip it apart. Look what Paul goes on to say. He says this, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just take that in for a moment. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter how thick that fog may be for you today, no matter how much the life that we once knew seems to fade from our view, one thing remains, and that's God's love for us. God is always there, no matter how tough our situations. So today I want to encourage you to find hope in this reading, to hold on to those truths, to remember that God is on your side, that God has opened the way through Jesus to an even better life, and that God's promise is that he will never, ever leave us. His love is as true in our grief as it is in our joy. Amen.